I wake up naked in a large bed in a pokey room. There are no curtains and light streams in through the slats of the blinds. My whole body itches. There don't seem to be any sheets either. I've been sleeping under an uncovered duvet on a bare mattress. The room smells of stale beer and mouldy food. I can hear the sounds of traffic, horns hooting and engines revving and people shouting. Rubbing my sore eyes, I look around this room that I have never seen before. I'm still wearing last night's eye makeup. The mascara sticks my lashes together, and as I rub my eyes, the glitter comes off on my hand. As I sit up, I can feel that my thighs are bruised and sore. There are jaws closing round my brain, crushing it. My brain pounds against my skull. Energy courses through me as if I'm coming up on a pill. I'm lying in this strange bed, but I'm rushing, and my jaw is going, and my blood is pulsing. I chew the elastic of my star bead bracelet to calm myself down, but as my teeth grind against each other, electricity shoots through my brain. Blue lightning flashes across the room. My clothes are on the floor, tangled up with crushed beer cans, Chinese takeaway cartons, overflowing ashtrays. Wrapping the duvet round me, I lean forward and pick my clothes up from the floor. My hands shake as I pull on my underwear and dress. There are stains all over my dress, like it's got mixed up with some soy sauce from one of the aging takeaways. My hair smells of smoke, and so do my clothes, and this smell makes me feel sick. I can't believe that I'm in such a horrible, squalid place. I can see my handbag on the windowsill. I tiptoe over to the window, trying to stop the floorboards creaking, but they groan and squeak under my feet. I pick up my handbag. It's unzipped and its guts have spilled out. I stroke the soft purple leather and turn the handbag upside down, emptying it over the floor. Glitter eyeliner, strawberry lip gloss and a fluorescent orange Fimo lighter tumble out, and so does my vibrating goldfish keyring. My purse is missing. This is bad. I haven't got any money or my debit card. How am I going to get home when I don't even know where I am, and I can't afford a bus fare or tube fare or cab or... Opening the blinds seems to take a very long time. Eventually, I stare out of the window over rooftops and inner city streets. The buildings on the horizon wobble. My vision is blurred, and the sides of the buildings pulse in and out, and I don't know what to do. Mum is going to be so cross with me because I didn't call last night to tell her where I was staying. I haven't been home for days and days. I focus on what I can remember. Last night, I went to Apocalypse with Ben and Lee. Ben left us and went home with a random girl. Then I danced with Lee for a bit. There were messages for me in the lights. I must have gone home with someone, but I don't know who. There doesn't seem to be anyone else here. I listen out for any sounds of another person, but there aren't any. I have to get out. The person, or people who live here, whoever they are, could come back at any moment. I can't have done anything with anyone, or I'd remember something. This is not really happening. I have to get out as quickly and quietly as possible. No one knows where I am. No one knows what has happened to me. I don't have to tell anyone anything. Carrying my shoes so as not to make a sound, I open the bedroom door and tiptoe down the stairs. As I open the door onto the street, the sunlight sears my eyes. I don't recognize this neighborhood. As I walk away from the house, some memories start to push themselves forward. An image of driving back here with someone in a car, and then I want to forget what happened last night and never think about it ever again. I could tell Mum that I had a seizure at Apocalypse, or a reaction to the pills which has wiped my memory. I can't tell her the truth. Mum must not know what has happened. If I go to the police, then I don't have to go home yet. There must be a police station somewhere. I stand at the end of the street. There is a T-junction. In front of me is a children's playground with a climbing frame made of logs and a metal slide and swings, old tyres hanging from chains. There is a seesaw and those animals on springs, a unicorn and a lion. There's a phone box across the road. I pick up the receiver and punch 999. It rings. Police, fire or ambulance, a woman's voice says. Police, I say. Police, a voice says. It sounds like the voice of a woman my mum's age. I think about mum and how cross she's going to be, but I push the thought away. I'll deal with that later. I would like to report a theft. Someone has stolen my purse, I say. I was at Apocalypse, and then I left, and I've got my bag, but my purse isn't there, and... What is Apocalypse? It's a really fab drum and bass club. The music's quite dark. I think it's intelligent drum and bass. You know, like Bookham's Logical Progression Night at Ministry, but Andy C plays there. He's the best DJ in the world, and... And where is this place? It's in the West End. It's round the corner from Dorothy Perkins, or is it Evans? It's just near Centrepoint. We stayed up all night after Magic one night to queue up for free tickets to the Something Festival in Finsbury Park, and... And at what time do you think the theft occurred? The woman sounds a bit impatient. I don't know. I was dancing with Lee, and then I lost him, and then I woke up, and... And where are you calling from now? I don't know. There is a pause. The woman on the other end coughs. Where do you think you might be? She says. What can you see? I'm next to a children's playground, with tyre swings, and a wooden climbing frame, and a slide, and a unicorn, and a lion. I take a deep breath, and think about what to say, and then I decide to say it, and then the words tumble out. I woke up in a strange place, naked. I didn't recognise the house. I don't recognise this area. It was a horrible house, and this area is really rough. There are lots of Victorian terraced houses, and it's quite slummy, and there are abandoned boarded-up shops. It's deserted, and there's an air of hopelessness, and could someone come and pick me up, please? There, I have said it. Where are you calling from? A phone box. Can you read me the number on the phone box? I read out the number. Wait there. A car will come and pick you up. I walk in circles around my phone box to keep moving. At long last, a police car draws up next to me. I wonder how they know exactly where I am. You okay? The policeman who gets out of the car asks me. He's young and cute with brown spiky hair and grey eyes and a wide smile. I quite fancy him, actually. I give him my own best smile. Yeah, thank you for coming. I don't know what happened. I woke up in this strange place on my own and... Get in the car, sweetheart, he says. We have to go to the station. I climb into the car and snuggle up on the seat, unbuckling my shoes and kicking them off and drawing my feet up under my bum. There is another policeman in the car too, an older one with silvery hair and a kind smile. Would you be able to point out where you've just come from? The younger policeman asked me. Which way did you walk? I look up the street behind me. From there, I point. We're going to drive past, and you can point out which house it was, he says. I'm not going to stop there now, because we need to get you to the station, but we need to know. We drive down the road I've come from, but all the houses are identical. They shimmer as they sway in the breeze and stretch away to infinity. I don't know which one it was. They all look the same, I say. Well, it's in Inferno Avenue, mate, the older policeman says. It's exciting being in a police car, I say. I've never been in a police car before. Do you like your job? What do you like about it? What else do you like? I like clubbing and... I look out of the window as the streets rush past. I am safe, and it didn't really happen. The police will look after me. None of it is my fault. We are going to take some swabs, and we are going to take your clothes away, and we are going to ask you some questions, the policewoman at the station says. She is pretty. Her red hair is tied back in a ponytail, and her eyes are emerald green. I'm in a room at the police station just with her now. It's called a rape suite, which is a good name, like a honeymoon suite, but more forceful and messy. Maybe there is free... What free stuff would there be? Free rehypnol and chloroform. Maybe there are free vibrators to simulate the rape experience. We are sitting on plastic chairs at a desk, which is a nasty cheap white one. There isn't a jacuzzi or anything. Please sit still, Tanya, she says. Have you taken any drugs? She asks. No. Are you absolutely sure? Yes. She looks like she doesn't believe me, but she doesn't say anything and writes something down. Are you taking any medication then? Only Prozac. She writes it down. Can we listen to some music? I ask. It would help me focus. No, not at the moment. We have to... I want to dance. There was this great tune last night at Apocalypse. Have you been to Apocalypse? It's a drum and bass club. Oh, I suppose you're too old, aren't you? I like drum and bass. Well, actually, I prefer techno. And do you like my dress? It's spank. It looks lovely on you, she says. What dresses do you like? I think you'd look great in a knee-length wrap dress. You've got a great figure. Thanks. Come on, Tanya. Take your clothes off, and then the doctor will come in to take these swabs. If you take them off and put them down on the newspaper on the floor there. She points to the floor by the bed, which I can now see is covered in pages of the Daily Mail. Then we will bag them up separately. What do you want them for? To look for evidence. I drop my dress to the floor and walk over to the bed. Another bed. There seem to be beds everywhere today. All the beds throw their sheets and covers off to suck me inside them. I'm not going to get to go to sleep, though, because the beds have other plans. Someone will be with you to take those swabs in a minute, she says from outside the curtain. This is all so exciting. It's like being in the Bill or something. When I get home, I'm going to write all this as a radio play and send it to Radio 4 for the afternoon play slot. It's going to be called Rape Suite and... Shh, Tanya, stop talking, please. You need to calm down, she says. I stare at the ceiling and it ripples and bubbles. A glow-in-the-dark rocket sticker floats onto the floor as I take my bra off. The floor twinkles as the hologram glitter that I dislodged when I took my dress off catches the light. The walls are white, the ceiling is white, the bed is white. I draw the curtain around the bed, and it's a plastic curtain with orange and pink and yellow roses on it. Hello, Tanya. I'm the doctor, and I'm going to take the swabs. She is wearing a white coat, and her blonde hair is tied back, and she's wearing scarlet lipstick and a warm smile. How are you feeling? She asks, looking concerned. Okay. You've had a nasty experience, haven't you? I can't remember anything, so not really. It's weird, though. I want you to lie on your back with your arms by your side and put your feet on the bed and draw your heels towards your bum. That's right. Perfect. Now, open your knees. Yes, that's right. Now I'm going to put the clamp in. If you breathe in, then it will go up there more easily. Have you had a smear test before? The doctor says, pausing. No, because I haven't actually done it yet. I almost did with this boy I was sort of seeing, but my friend turned up and so I didn't have to, and I don't want to tell her the rest of that story. Or I do, but something very cold slides up there. It is already sore up there, which is a bad sign that bad things happened last night. This might hurt a bit. The clamp is going to open now. At first it doesn't hurt, but as it opens wider, it hurts a lot. It is going to keep opening wider until it rips my whole body open, and this serves me right for whatever happened last night. Then the clamp stops opening. I'm just going to take the swabs now, she says. I can feel the cotton buds scrape around there, which tickles. All done. You've got some nasty bruises on your inner thighs, haven't you? She says. I look down. And there are bruises there. You can put your knickers back on now. You're a brave girl. My paper knickers are scratchy, but they have taken my clothes away. Which clothes would you like, Tanya? You can choose some from this cupboard here, the policewoman says. She has come back with a cheese sandwich and a cup of tea. Oh yeah, I'll have that one and that one and that one. I point to a grey cardigan and a pair of jeans and a pink vest top and a blue and pink striped rugby shirt. And a floral dress. You can't have all of them. You have to choose. The dress and the cardigan then, please. I pull them on. You can have some makeup as well. She opens the makeup bag and I take out a black eyeliner and a peach blusher and start to apply them. My hands are shaking so the lines come out wobbly. We're going to ask you some questions now, she says. I have to answer questions where I say over and over again that I woke up in a stranger's bed and I don't know how I got there and I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. She makes me tell the story backwards too. She makes me describe the colours I remember and the smells. The smell of the stale takeaways hangs in the air around us. They take my clothes away for tests, and they are lovely to me, but everything jumbles in my mind. We're going to take you home now, she says, and my chest constricts as I think about what I'm going to say to Mum when I arrive home in a police car.